Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It is Wednesday night, and so you know what that means. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for being with me here on a Wednesday evening. Rhino is with us as well. He's down there in Studio X. He is he's not even the co-pilot. He's the pilot. I'm just here for like local color. I'm just a navigator at best, something like that. Rhino will get this ship where it needs to go. If you want to join us here on our voyage, you do it on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. So if you missed it earlier today, Mississippi State and the rest of the SEC for that matter, got the kickoff windows for the rest of the college football season. Of course, we know the time for the first three games of the season, and we knew the time for the last game of the season with Mississippi State. But now we have, at the very least, an estimate for every game. And so let's just go through those now and tell you what to expect. Of course, like I said, the first three games we already knew. 11 a.m. kick down in Hattiesburg when Mississippi State starts the season against Southern Mississippi. 6:30 p.m., Arizona State, week two, a night game in Davis-Wade Stadium. September the 13th against Alcorn, 5 o'clock kick for that one. That's a game that is Mississippi State's streaming game. So go ahead and tell Grandpa that that's the internet game. You're going to have to go watch the game with Grandpa on that one to get him set up, because otherwise he's not going to figure it out. So go watch the game with your grandpa, and he'll get you taken care of. All right, we know week four's time for Mississippi State. That is a 3:15 kick against Northern Illinois on the SEC Network. That is what we like to call the hidden in plain sight window. That's the game that's up against the 2:30 SEC game of the week. What will that be that day? Did we talk about that earlier? September the 20th. Auburn, Oklahoma probably is it. Florida's at Miami that day, so but I don't know if that can be on ABC or not. I guess it could be. But State Northern Illinois, 3:15 kickoff here in Starkville. Week five, we talked a little bit about that on yesterday's Sports Talk. That's the flex window as State will host Tennessee. So that means that game can kick off anywhere from 2:30 to 7 o'clock. Looking at the schedule that day, they've already got Alabama and Georgia locked in for the 6:30 ABC game. Ole Miss LSU is that day as well. That will likely be the 2:30 game for ABC. State has a chance to be a night game there. But at worst, they're going to be playing in the mid-afternoon. Road game against Texas A&M is in the night window, so you know that'll be a late one. Road game against Florida, that's in the afternoon window, so that will kick off between 2:30 and 3:30 Central. Home against Texas is another flex game for Mississippi State. The good news for you here is this. We're talking about State, and we've talked about the LED lights that are coming and how State is making that investment into their stadium. October 25th, even if that game kicks off at 2:30, by the time you get to the second half, you're in the dark. They'll have the lights on there, so that'll be cool. So it's got a good chance. State versus Texas has a good chance to be. I'm wondering if I'm the only one. And it depends on what State is, obviously. But do you play up the whole Manning versus Mississippi State thing? I thought that was underplayed last year, and a part of that was because State was so bad that nobody really cared. If State can have some wins on the board, there can be, Archie played against Mississippi State here. Eli played against Mississippi State. Payton played against Mississippi State. All in Starkville at Scott Field, Davis-Wade Stadium. That's an interesting storyline, but I think that has a chance to be a night game. State back on the road afternoon window against Arkansas. So again, a 2:30 to 3:30 kickoff. We know the time for November the 8th when Mississippi State hosts Georgia. That will be 11 a.m. coming right out of College Game Day on either ABC or ESPN. And so if State's only going to have one morning game, one early window game this whole season at home, getting it on November the 8th is about the best you can hope for. You don't have to worry about getting to the stadium and just frying in your own sweat and oils there. Night window for the next week, November 15th at Missouri. Then it's a bye week, and then you have the Egg Bowl on Black Friday, 11 a.m., either ESPN or ABC. I'm not sure why it wouldn't just be on ABC. I don't know what else ABC could possibly have on at that time. I got to be honest with you, though. For a team that went 2-10 a season ago, this is a pretty decent schedule in terms of you only have the one early game, and it's in November. Your other early game that's on the road is on the road. You're in Hattiesburg, so it doesn't, you know, you can't really control that. Arizona State, a night game, should be a good crowd. And if State can find a way to be 4-0, can they beat Southern Miss, Arizona State, Alcorn, and Northern Illinois? I don't know if they can or not, but if they can, that game with Tennessee is going to be a really good atmosphere, I think. And I think it has a great chance to be a 6:30, 7 o'clock kickoff. So, yeah, as everything goes for a team that was as bad as State was a year ago, you know, this could have been a lot worse. I'll just tell you, back in the old days before ESPN and ABC had all of the games and had all the windows, State, Tennessee, State, Texas, and State, Georgia probably all would have been 11 a.m. games. Maybe the Northern Illinois game as well. But because they have all these extra windows available now, you can put these on in the afternoon and in the evening. But yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, this would have been an 11 a.m. bonanza for Mississippi. Two decades ago, Jefferson Pilot might as well have just set up a branch office in Starkville. That's how many of those games would have been there. Hey, Dad, you are a solid host, co-host, whatever, creative, consistent, and informative. Thanks for always delivering quality material at no cost to me. Well, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. That's very nice of you. There are three early games. Yeah, but wait, what are the early games? Southern Mississippi, Ole Miss, and Georgia. Ole Miss is on a Friday, whatever. You only have the one early game on a Saturday at home. Only one of your home Saturday games is an early game, is what I'm trying to say, Josh. I'm not too terribly worried about the one in Hattiesburg because it's on the road. Is State scheduled the second hardest in the nation again? I don't know. I mean, it depends. Looking at it right now, I would be willing to tell you Arizona State, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Texas, Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss will all be ranked, and there's a chance that Florida's ranked. So you could have, I mean, of your games that – Southern Miss, Alcorn, Northern Illinois, Arkansas are the only team State will play this year that I don't think have any chance of being a preseason top 25 team or being a preseason top 20 or being a in-season top 25 team at any point. So very possibly that could be the case that you could see State. I mean, one of the things that makes the State schedule more difficult than other teams in the SEC is the fact that they can't play Mississippi State. You know, you look at Georgia's schedule, they get to play Mississippi State. Texas gets to play Mississippi State. So that's a little bit of a ding to your strength of schedule. You're playing a team that was 2-10 a year ago. That's just facts at that point. Is Southern a must-win for State? Oh, yeah. Oh, if you lose to Mississippi, if you lose to Southern Mississippi, you can just go ahead and let Levy stay in Hattiesburg at that point. There's no coming back from that. They have no coming back from that. That would be the end of the season, week one. They have to win that game. And be honest with you, they need to win it relatively convincingly. Otherwise, we're just going to have the same discussions we've had. Well, they're not much better. But if they win that game 38-28, that's not a good sign. You know, you are an SEC team playing a Sun Belt team. I mean, State's a 14.5-point favorite. They should easily cover that spread, and they should be able to do more. If they can't, it's a problem. And right now, if you said, Brian, put your money on it, I would take the points, and I would take Southern Mississippi in the points. Because I don't know enough about Mississippi State. And what I do know about Southern Miss is, if State had played Marshall last year, I think they would have lost. Well, a lot of that team is in Hattiesburg right now, and the coach is there as well. I don't think State's going to lose that game. I don't. But if you could easily convince me that it's close. Until I see State play, until I see with my own eyes what the defense looks like, I'm going to have trouble, you know, looking you in the eye and telling you, hey, they're going to dominate that game. What do you think about the MHSAA championships in Starkville? It's about time. They haven't been there in a decade. Ole Miss has had them. Southern's had them. Why has State not had them? I don't understand that. So I'm glad to see them back up there. It'll be a short drive for Starkville when they're going for that 7A championship. Makes it easy for me, you know, being a dance dad. I don't have to go too far to watch that game. All right, when we come back, Mississippi State's been very active in the transfer portal for baseball, including a guy they just brought in today. Let's go over those names and what to expect from Brian O'Connor as he continues to build up this roster after taking the job here at Mississippi State. We haven't really talked about Connor since the official unveiling. We'll do a little bit of that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
As a parent.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
If they call a celebration penalty on this, I'll shoot them.
We are back here on Thunder and Lightning Live. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Thunder and Lightning podcast, along with all the other great podcasts we have here at Super Talk. If you're an Ole Miss fan listening, I don't know you are. The Rebel Report with Michael Borky is available to you if you're a Southern Mississippi fan. The Eagle Hour is available. Or if you just want to hear about the great state of Mississippi, the SEC, and everything else going on in sports, the Sports Talk Mississippi podcast is available. The Sports Talk Mississippi podcast is available commercial-free. You get the full show with no commercials. It pops up literally moments after we go off the air every day at 6 o'clock. Free to use, free to you, and enjoyable, our podcast here at Super Talk Mississippi. So it's been, 6 days since Mississippi State unveiled Brian O'Connor as the new head baseball coach. Obviously, that was made official Sunday night, two Sundays ago. And then State had the big to-do at Duty Noble Field. Really surreal moment for me, by the way. I don't know if I've mentioned this here on the show or on any show yet, but they had a package video, and it had a bunch of people talking about O'Connor, and my voice was on there as they took a clip from this show or from Sports Talk or whatever. And the fact that my voice was blared out at Duty Noble Field is... We'll check another thing off the list there of things I never thought could happen to me in my life. So that was really cool. Robbie's voice is on there as well, Robbie Falk. Just talking about how it's a great hire, and it is. Also, you know, we haven't talked about it on this show, but obviously Justin Parker remaining in Starkville, being the pitching coach. I liked what O'Connor said after the event. He talked about, you know, wanting to have some continuity and have some connections in the SEC that his staff just didn't have. And he brought all his other guys from Virginia in. He wanted to have one guy here that he could go to into the schools in Mississippi and in the surrounding area and then have some familiarity with him. So I thought that was a smart move. As I said all along, if the floor of the search, if the absolute worst guy you could have got was Justin Parker, then you did really, really good because that guy's an outstanding pitching coach. So I'm glad to see him back. And, of course, the first order of business for O'Connor and staff is to bring in some new players. And how do you do that? You do that with recruiting. More specifically, through the transfer portal. We got the timing down, Rhino. That was fantastic. So State obviously active in the portal, and specifically from Virginia. State has been able, you know, as soon as O'Connor took the job, quite basically Virginia's roster changed a lot. A lot of their guys got into the portal, and State is going to reap the benefits of some of that. Tomas Valinkas and his brother, Vitas Valinkas. Vitas played at Illinois last year, was an all-Big Ten performer, hit 350, double-digit extra base hits. Tomas is a good candidate to be State's Friday night guy this upcoming year. Big left-hander, mid-90s, was 4-1 for the Cavaliers last year. As a freshman, was really, really good for them. That's a big opportunity there for him. Aiden Teal, if he does not get drafted, will likely be State's starting center fielder next season, along with James Nunnally at one of the corner spots. State's got an interesting situation in the outfield because Bryce Chance has announced he's coming back. Garrett Fry is not announced yet, but I expect him to be back, assuming he doesn't get drafted, but I don't think that he will. And so, unless he takes a free agent deal and just wants to go ahead and start his pro career, which, you know, that happens. That absolutely happens. But then you've got these two Virginia guys. It's like you got four guys for three spots. So who's out? You know, Chance and Fry were really good for you this year, but O'Connor has his guys as well. So I don't know the answer there. But that's kind of where you are. State still needs to find a catcher. Still need to find a couple other guys. Just moments ago, as we were on air here at Sports Talk Mississippi, State picked up their first transfer that didn't have a connection to O'Connor, because Valinkas, getting the brother, I mean, his brother was connected. But Ryder Woodson, a freshman infielder from NC State, started only 5 games for the Wolfpack, but played in 26 and hit 361, 3 home runs, 15 RBI. Had a really great regional at Auburn just a couple weeks ago. Was really good for the Wolfpack in that one. State needs middle infielders, you know. I don't know what's going to happen with Gatlin Sanders, but Dylan Cup, Lucas Buckner, they've already announced they're into the transfer portal. I think Sanders is the guy who should stay and try to compete for his spot. I don't know if he will or not, but I mean, he hit 300 last year and he was a plus defender. I don't know why you wouldn't want to keep him around. So we'll see what happens there. The biggest news out of the transfer portal for State isn't who they've gotten out of it. It's who they kept out of it, and that's the bulk of their young talent. Ryan McPherson, Ben Davis, and Charlie Foster all coming back. Those guys will play huge roles for State. McPherson and Foster could be weekend starters for the Bulldogs. And, of course, Ace Reese staying in Starkville is huge. You could not afford to lose that guy. And the fact that he never even got in the portal. Now, if you look at Twitter, there were a lot of teams expecting him to get in the portal. Namely, one just about a five-hour drive south of here in Baton Rouge thought that was all but wrapped up. It was wrapped up in maroon and white because Ace Reese will be back for another year. Likely, I mean, as your preseason SEC Player of the Year candidates go, Ace Reese will be right at the very, very top of the list coming off of a season where he competed for the Triple Crown. State is slowly but surely putting together a team that will be a threat to host next year. The lineup that they'll be able to put together, especially if Fry and Noah Sullivan come back for another year in Starkville, and you can have guys on the bench, maybe like Bryce Chance and Reed Stallman, who were quality players this year. Now you're telling me they could be depth? You got something going here. And he knew that it would be that way with Brian O'Connor. You knew that he was coming in, that you knew that the financial commitment was real. When you saw O'Connor's salary, you knew, like, okay, State's not playing around here. They really are going to put out some big money. Do I think Pico will be drafted? Yes. Yeah, I saw something. Hold on, I have to go find it here. I had the top 200 up just the other day, and Pico was on that list. Let me see if I can find him. Great radio here when you're looking for something, but you know, it is what it is. Pico is the 112th best prospect available. So you're talking about what? Late third, early fourth round? Yeah, that's a spot where you go. So I don't expect Pico Khan back at Mississippi State next year. Don't expect we were talking about some of the high school guys as well. The Parker brothers down at Purvis, don't expect him back at Mississippi State. Don't expect Landon Harmon at Mississippi State either. J.B. Middleton, number 34 best prospect available from Southern Mississippi, so he's likely gone as a first-rounder as well. Some other names of interest here on the first-round list. Kate Anderson from LSU. Well, everybody knows him. Liam Doyle, former Ole Miss Rebel, now Tennessee. Number 9 on this list. Andrew Fisher, another former Rebel, turned to Tennessee. He's the number 29 prospect on this list. I wonder what Reese would have been had he come out. I don't know. Luke Hill, number 96 on this list from Ole Miss. Pico, I just mentioned. Anybody else worth talking about here? I mean, obviously a bunch of guys from Arkansas, Florida, LSU, across the world, but those are the Mississippi guys. State needs a catcher. They don't have one on the roster right now. They do not have one, you know. Joe Powell's out of eligibility, Jackson Owen and Ross Highfield into the portal. So they don't have a catcher. Pitcher wants to throw the ball right now, there's nobody there. So they'll need to get at least two of those guys in the portal. They need another middle infielder. They need a shortstop. A lot of signs, a lot of smoke pointing towards another Virginia guy, Eric Becker, at that point. But as of this moment, he has not made a commitment. That could change at any moment. And it could be somewhere other than Mississippi State. He is a top guy in the portal. He's one of the top. He was, I think, at one point the number one guy. Now, as guys continue to enter, that could change. But State would love to get him there to anchor down the middle of that infield. The boy from East Union, that's Harmon. He will likely be a pro, as will the Parker twins. Those two guys will be, in all likelihood, in MLB next year. Well, I say MLB. It'll be in the minors next year. JoJo Parker is a likely top 10 pick. He's not turning down a $6 million signing bonus to play at Mississippi State. And then the other two, Harmon, I think, was the top 40 prospect, top 50 prospect. So talking, you know, could go late first, but certainly would be gone by the second round. Nah, he's not coming back. The other Parker, Jacob Parker, was, I think, 107. So we're talking third, fourth round for him. If they get drafted, they're going. So if the fourth round, fifth round passes and Jacob Parker has not been picked, he's told teams he wants to go to Starkville at that point. But if they get picked, the way the MLB draft works, the way the salary works, you're going to get picked. Somebody says Smithwick needs a home. I don't think Campbell Smithwick's coming to Mississippi State. I would be really surprised by that. You never know. Stranger things have certainly happened, but I don't think it's going to be the case. So, all right, when we come back, let's talk some more football. We're 12 weeks away from the start of the college football season. What do I think about the Bulldogs on June 11th? I'll tell you. We'll do that when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Today and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning live back here on Super Talk Mississippi on a Wednesday evening. I'm Brian Haydad. If you want to join the show, do it on the C Spire text line 601-879-4395. One of the great joys in life is this right here. If you can see it here on Super Talk TV, the helmet schedule. I always enjoy when I first get one. I get to print it off. I put all my predictions on there, and I'm good to go. And usually, I don't know if you've ever heard of Malcolm Gladwell, but he wrote a book called Blink. And basically, the concept of the book is whatever your first instinct is the correct one. When you are provided with a situation, whatever you think first, you're usually right. So I've always tried to go with that when I do these predictions, right? Like, first thought, you're reading through it, this is what I think, good, we're good to go. And so for Mississippi State, I wrote down 5-7. But then I really started to think about it, and I was looking at this Arizona State game. And I got to thinking that this Arizona State game is one of the biggest games Mississippi State has had in Starkville in quite some time. In quite some time. It literally, to me, is going to be what tells me, is this team improved? Is Lebby going to be the guy that can drag State out of this hole? If they go and get beat up by Arizona State again, and you go back and look at last year's game, the final score is 30-23. This is one of those two things can be true at the same time things. That game could have been a lot worse. but it also State could have easily won it. And so, without Scadaboo coming to Starkville, what is this Arizona State team? Now, I really like Sam Leavitt, the quarterback at Arizona State. I think he's very, very good. And I think Kenny Dillingham is an outstanding head coach. This game is absolutely massive. Not to say that the first game isn't. State, they got to beat Southern Mississippi. But I think they will. And so you have a 6:30 kick. If you can beat Southern Mississippi handily, if you can do that, you got a chance to have a little bit of buzz around that game. And then again, if you win that game, you're going to be favored to beat Alcorn and Northern Illinois. And when you get to the 27th and you're hosting Tennessee, you're 4-0. And everybody's kind of talking about you at that point. Oh, is this Mississippi State team for real? Has Jeff Lebby turned it around in his second year? I mean, you can already hear the headlines. They write themselves. You know, you think about a coach in their tenure. They get a game where it's like, this is, whether you know it or not at the time, this is a turning point game for you. Mullins was in his first year. It was against Ole Miss. Because I remember you go into that game, State was 4-7, and you're like, all right, well, they're obviously better, but it's still a long way to go for Mississippi State. And then they beat Ole Miss on that day, and you're like, wait a minute, we got something here. And then, you know, you build off of that for the rest of his tenure. Morehead lost that game. It was in his first year. It was early. It was the Florida game. Mullen coming back to Starkville. This was the only chance you were ever going to have him. Massive crowd, and you blew it. And there's a good portion of Mississippi State fans that never forgave Joe Moorhead for that and never got on board with him after that. It's tough to say with Leach because his first season is the COVID year, right? And you can't really say that LSU game because it was such an outlier for the rest of the season. Nobody else played Mississippi State that way that he did. For me, the game for him is the Auburn game in 2021. About midway through his second year at State, and goes to Auburn, falls behind 28-3, but then State literally puts together an incredible performance. Will Rogers could not miss in the second half, and State just rolls off what was it 40 unanswered and wins the game. Arnett never got a chance to do it. This is Levy's. If Levy wins this game, I'm pretty comfortable telling you that they will go to the Egg Bowl with a chance to win it to go to a bowl. I'm not saying they'll win it. I'm just saying I think if State beats Arizona State, they will be 5-6 when they play Ole Miss on Black Friday. If State loses to Arizona State, I mean, at that point, you could probably convince me of just about anything with that team. But they might lose to Northern Illinois. They might lose to Arkansas. I have Arkansas down as a win as we sit here today. Not a sure thing by any stretch of the imagination. There's no gimme games when you're coming off the 2-10. The weight of that Arizona State game cannot be understated for Mississippi State. They have to win it. It's the only way forward. Last year, Mississippi State in that game could not run the football against Arizona State. They just could not. I think the final tally is something like 29 carries for 25 yards or something like that. They averaged less than a yard per carry. Booth and Kevon Lee and Daniels, they couldn't get anything going against that Sun Devil defense. The other side of the ball, as we all know, Cam Scadaboo, that was the game that thrust him in the national spotlight where he stayed the rest of the year. They rushed for, what, over 300 yards in that game? It was miserable. But as bad as they were defensively, if they could have just done anything in the running game, they would have won the game. I have to think they'll be better. And it's at home. I don't know if I never know how the weather, if that's actually a thing. You know, does the playing in 112 degree heat in Tempe versus 88 degree heat but 70% humidity here in Mississippi, does it really, is it going to make a difference to Arizona State? And these are young guys. Yeah, I think they're in good enough shape to push through it. State season gets defined week two. If they're 2-0, you're talking about this team. They're moving in the right direction. And that's what 2025 is about Mississippi State. It's about moving into the right direction. You've moved in the wrong direction since the Egg Bowl in Oxford in 2022. You took a big step back under Arnett, and then last year you just kind of bottomed out. You hope that's bottomed out. I think it was bottomed out. I don't think State will be worse than they were a season ago. They just have they're a better team top to bottom. They have more talent on this year's roster than they had on last year's roster. I don't necessarily buy into the whole Rhodes and McIntyre as analysts give Coleman Hutzler some strategic edge that he, I don't necessarily buy into that. But from a talent standpoint, they have better players defensively than they had a season ago at almost every position. Maybe not at cornerback, you know, because Bryce Pollock was really good last year, and yeah, not at cornerback. But everywhere, you know, the defensive line, they're better. The linebacker room is much better. The safety room is much better this year than they were a season ago. If State can find a way to beat Arizona State, this team becomes something that we can talk about moving forward. If they lose to them, then they're still in limbo. They'll beat Alcorn the next week, and then we're going to play Northern. They're going to play Northern Illinois, and we're going to be having the exact same discussions we had after the Toledo game last year. Going into the Toledo game last year, I was confident State would win that game easily. I was like, well, yeah, they played badly against Arizona State, but this is a MAC team. They'll beat them, and it won't be a problem. Whoops. I won't make the same mistake. If State is 2-1 when they play Northern Illinois, I will come on this show and other shows and tell you, look, it could go wrong. It did last year. Northern Illinois went to Notre Dame last year and won. They can certainly win in Starkville. And then if you're, you know, even if you're 3-1, you're just looking ahead. You're like, oh, gosh, who are they going to beat on this SEC schedule if they can't beat Arizona State at home? Whereas if they win, we're all smiles and rainbows for a couple weeks at least. So if they're 1-2, well, then I'm just going to go and tell you that the Lebby thing's not going to work. If State is 1-2 after their first three games, if they've lost to Southern Mississippi and Arizona State, I'm just going to come on the show and tell you it's not going to work. At that point, I will not believe in Jeff Lebby at that point. I think the 12-1 show. Oh, this is totally something different. I don't know what's going on there. Not worried about that. The rest of the schedule, though, you know, Tennessee at A&M, at Florida, Texas, at Arkansas, Georgia, at Missouri, Ole Miss. It's tough. It's tough, man. Tennessee was in the playoff last year. A&M on the road, always tough. That's a night game, we just determined. At Florida, Florida was the biggest second-half turnaround in the SEC last year. I'm not a big believer in the Gators. I don't like Napier. I don't think Napier's a very good coach, but they have talent. Texas is probably going to be the number one team in the nation when they come to Starkville. At Arkansas, best chance to win, and that's saying something. That's a team that beat you by 30 points last year. Georgia could be the number one team in the nation when they play Mississippi State. Who knows? Missouri won 10 games last year. Ole Miss won 10 games last year. There's no rest for the schedule. There's no respite. It's going to be a very, very tough year for Mississippi State. But if they can beat Arizona State, we can talk about Mississippi State moving in the right direction. If they can't, it might just be a lot more of the same. So we shall see. We shall see what happens with the Bulldogs. Long way to go. We're a month from SEC Media Days. And then, you know, a couple weeks after that, boom, we're into preseason camp. And then we're off and running. All right, we got a little basketball scheduling news to talk about when we come back as Mississippi State found out the spot for another non-conference game. We'll do that after the break. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Are the trees and shrubs...
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well, now you got it.
Hey,
Let's wrap it all up here on Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Appreciate you guys spending your Wednesday evening with me. Appreciate Rhino down in Studio X. He's backing us into the parking spot as we speak. We'll be home before you know it. Mississippi State basketball learned today their matchup for the 2025 ACC-SEC Challenge. A little disappointing. I got to be totally honest with you. Mississippi State will play at Georgia Tech as part of the field where they played 2 years ago. That was State's SEC-ACC game 2 years ago at Georgia Tech. What? Send them somewhere else. Who does this stuff? Why is there not somebody there as well? Hey, that happened 2 years ago. Switch it up. It's not like that's a marquee matchup. You know, I understand if you want to give Kentucky versus Duke every year. I get that. It's actually Kentucky and North Carolina this year, but you see what I'm saying. I understand that motivation. Why are we Mississippi State, Georgia Tech again? You could have just as easily sent them to Boston College or Notre Dame or something. Jeez. Oh, well. So State's non-conference basketball schedule is starting to come together. I don't know the season opener yet. This November 10th game will likely be their second game of the year, but they're at Sioux Falls, South Dakota to take on Iowa State. That'll be a big net game for them. They're at home against Southeastern Louisiana. They're in the Hall of Fame Classic, which takes place in Kansas City, Missouri. That's Nebraska, New Mexico, and Kansas State. I think State plays Kansas State in the first game and then plays the winner of New Mexico versus Nebraska. Home against New Orleans, home against SMU on Black Friday, so that's the same day as the Ole Miss game. They haven't announced a time for that, but obviously it will be after State trying to keep people on campus the whole day. At home against Long Island. At home against, and that's on December 16th. And then December 20th, at home against Memphis. I do not remember the last time Memphis played at the Hump for a regular season game. I don't have any memory of it. I'm sure it's happened, but I don't remember when it was. But that Memphis game, SMU, Iowa State, the Hall of Fame Classic games, and then this game with Georgia Tech should be pretty good net games for the Bulldogs. One thing that Chris Jans has done in his three previous seasons is he has scheduled a good but not overly difficult non-conference schedule. One that if you got wins, it helps you, and if you lose games, it doesn't hurt you too much, unless you lose to Southern University, which they did a couple years ago. That hurt them. But as long as you win the games you're supposed to win, you can lose a game here or there, and it doesn't kill you. And each of the last 3 years, State has gone into conference play in a pretty good spot in the net. Certainly year one and year three. Year two was kind of marred by that Southern loss at home. But it feels like, once again, Mississippi State, you know, if they handle their business, when conference play rolls around, they will be set to make a fourth straight NCAA tournament appearance. Obviously, with Jans and that squad, it's all about the, you know, what do they do when they get there? Mississippi State fans are ready to see their team win a game, make the second weekend. I brought it up last year. It's been since 2008, since Mississippi State has won an NCAA tournament game. They have appearances since then, but they haven't won a game since then. And so State fans are ready to see that happen. As am I. I guess I fall into that category, but, you know, it is what it is. Other games in the challenge, Florida and Duke. People thought that might have been the national championship game last year, but it wasn't. North Carolina, Kentucky. I don't really care. It seems they've just played each other so much. Virginia at Texas. Okay. NC State at Auburn. Thought Auburn might have gotten a little more marquee matchup. Maybe they could have gotten North Carolina, but whatever. Clemson at Alabama is interesting. That was an Elite Eight game a couple years ago. Louisville at Arkansas. That should be two pretty highly rated teams. Oklahoma at Wake Forest. SMU at Vanderbilt. So SMU will play two SEC teams this year. At least two. I don't know the rest of their schedule. Texas A&M is at Pitt. Pitt is who State hosted last year and beat them up really badly. Mentioned Mississippi State at Georgia Tech. Miami will go to Ole Miss. LSU will go to Boston College. Virginia Tech will go to South Carolina. Tennessee at Syracuse. That could be an interesting matchup. Missouri at Notre Dame. And then Georgia will be at Florida State. That's your 2025 SEC-ACC Challenge. Excited for basketball. I'm excited for MSU sports. You know, we're in that time of year where there's nothing going on for State, right? And nothing going on because everything's wrapped up. So you start looking ahead, but at the same time, you know, I have some trepidation about some things, but by and large, this is when optimism reigns supreme, right? When you start, they could find a way in football, and man, I think they really could be a Sweet 16 team in bad basketball. And then for baseball, I'm looking at the portal going, right back to Omaha, let's go. Will that all pan out? I doubt it, but it's fun to do this time of year anyway. So tomorrow on Thunder and Lightning Podcast, my interview with Michael Katz. We are 12 weeks out from college football. That means we are starting opponent previews, and we go from back to front on Thunder and Lightning. We start with the Egg Bowl. So that's a fun conversation on tomorrow, plus a replay of my interview with Greg McElroy that you heard on Sports Talk Mississippi yesterday. We talk in depth about some of the SEC quarterbacks, including Blake Shapen. And if you're an Ole Miss fan listening, he had a lot of high praise for Austin Simmons. So check that out tomorrow on the Thunder and Lightning podcast feed. Talk to you guys again tomorrow before I head out on vacation, which I'm very much looking forward to. Talk to you guys then. For Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Your home. A Super Talk Mississippi media production.